Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Therapy Unfiltered podcast. I'm Sarah Burnett, and I'm here with my mom, Petey Silvera. And together, we created this podcast to help you navigate the world of mental health and wellness through understanding the mind, body, and soul connection.
We want to create a healing space to dive deep into the everyday challenges we see our clients experience most and offer you our best healing strategies in a tangible, fun, and authentic way. I can't wait. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Petey.
And today we're on episode 95. Denise K. Evans shares her past life regression experience with Petey Silvera and spiritual gems from her new book, Zen in High Heels.
Isn't that the best title?
I love it. I love how she's like, it's not just for people in high heels, all genders. It's the perfect book for everybody.
Yes, but it was a title. What did she say? It came to her years and years and years ago, and now it's being used.
It's great.
Yeah.
I loved our conversation with her. She gave such little insights into the book that I think are great for people to start grabbing on to their, for their spiritual journey. Like if you're a beginner or in the middle, it was really, I love how she speaks. I think I just loved the conversation with her.
I did too. Well, I actually put a review on the Amazon website and exactly what I spoke to is that it's for the beginner with no experience and yet it's for the advanced that is ready to take something because you can't do everything all at once. You know, there's things that elude you. So yeah, it's for the advanced seeker. Oh, that's right. I haven't done this. This would be wonderful for my spiritual evolution. So yeah, it was very interesting. And she had a lot of great reviews on Amazon, by the way.
a lot of good.
Yeah. So what's new with you, my dear?
You know, this past month has brought so much newness. It's like we got into January and it has been like exploding with events and things coming up. And actually in 2 days, we have our second class of Yoga High at the Acre Orlando, which is like Edgewater and Fairbanks area. A beautiful venue, green and lush and in the grass. And we had our first event last month and it was so great. So it is Yoga High. So it is medical marijuana patients can come take class. They can consume there. While we educate about the plant, educate about how it connects you deeper to self, deeper into spirituality. And then I teach a very beginner-friendly yoga class. But we have really intentional times where we're consuming together like a collective smoke. It was great. The feedback was wonderful. And a lot of people said how safe they felt, how it felt so therapeutic, how they've never had a class that felt so aligned for them. I've just never had any feedback like this in any of my classes. So it was a really special class, how it came together. And so for people who don't have their medical cards, we are partnered with MCO Cannabis. And so we have a doctor there issuing your med card and you get a temporary card right there. So then you can take class. But it's great. It's only $15. We're sponsored by Cookies Orlando. So they're giving great deals on their flower and vapes. So. Yeah, all the tickets are available on bungalower.com. They're helping us run this show, and it is so great. So yeah, next one's February 7th. It's the first and fourth Wednesday of the month, and class kicks off at 5:30. If you roll up earlier, you can get settled. You can talk to the doc. You can talk to the dispensary, but so great. This idea has been in my brain for like 3 years, just as I got to know cannabis much more and how it's healing to the body. And we actually had Mandy on, we can reference that, about talking about, she's a Florida marijuana mentor. And so she was talking about how cannabis and THC is in the body and what it does for us. And I think once we found out the healing benefits of it, it became a no-brainer.
Yeah. And actually, Mandy's episode was one of our most highly downloaded too, Sarah. People were fascinated. She is such a good educator. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. I think it just breaks the stigma. You know, when I was a kid, I only thought bad things, right? About weed, and I didn't really understand it. And I never touched the plant until far into my 20s, like really 30s, like, which I'm 39 for people. So I haven't been this forever person on board. It was about really learning about and unlearning old things and relearning how it integrates in our body and how the plant is just perfectly lock and key fits into our system. And we'll share the episode because it's really fascinating. And I think that's what has sparked a lot of interest around it, is this new kind of wave of education coming out.
Well, it's natural medicine that's been passed down through the ages. I mean, it's...
Mom, you'll love this fact. So actually, cannabis are in the Vedas. So in the old Hindu script was written in like 1400 BC about this plant in the Vedas. And Shiva, the Lord of Destruction, used this in ritual because and would make this, it's this concoction of like milk and herbs. It's kind of like golden milk, but also includes
sounds the like plant. Golden milk.
Yeah, for inflammation, for calming. And so if you know any of the writings about Shiva, the god of destruction. So it is about destroying all of the yuck and gunk inside your body and clearing out everything so that you can see your path clearly, so you connect to the divine more easily.
And so interesting.
So interesting. That's been, and in India, it's still legal because they did a whole investigation around cannabis and the plant, and they just realized how integrated it was into the culture and not using it. It's not being used unconsciously. It's a very conscious consumption.
That's so, well, in my Kundalini training, they never talked about that piece of it, Sarah. Never talked mm-hmm. about that. That is so interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. And I think, I mean, didn't you have over 50 people the first time?
Yeah. Our goal and it landed and yep. It was beautiful. I mean, it was just such the acre is newly open to the public. It used to be a private venue. So the place they're making it is wonderful. If you know, it's the marketing groups. They also own the Wellborn and Mathers and Robinson. So they're a company that really sets a vibe. So there's, you know, afterwards they showed a movie, there's popcorn you can have, there's drinks, there's stuff, and you can bring your dog or there's kids. I mean, it's just like kind of great. There's a separate area where kids can hang. But there were families around, and it seems like that they were far away, but there's games and.
Well, this is where you'll have to manifest when you hold it for no rain, like you used to do with your other yoga outside.
I know. They're like, well, what do? I was like, it just doesn't rain. It doesn't rain at our events. That's just how it works. It's okay.
You're cute.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're on to something. I think this is going to be big. Too bad I'm not still living there. I would come.
Well, maybe one day I'll have you come in for a sleepover, Mom.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd love it.
That would be different. Yeah. I love it.
Well, what's new with you?
I mean, well, I know we've been working on the website a lot, haven't we?
For us.
Treat.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
that's right. We have opened up different availability for the retreat, which is really exciting. So
we actually reduced some prices and we added another venue. So yeah.
And yeah. Open more accommodations and change pricing because I think, you know, the same reason we started the podcast, we wanted some like mental health resources for people who can't afford individual therapy. And so the same idea around this retreat, it is at a 5-star luxury retreat center, but we also wanted to create some opportunities for people to enter in at a lower rate for a shared accommodation. So if you think about like when I was traveling, I jumped into hostels all the time when I was overseas. Yes. Because it was just more affordable. So now we have a greater range so that if you really are wanting this healing, I know I have some younger friends of mine who want that, you know, and they're like, sure, I can share if I can come, that's great. And we have a 6-month 0% price option that would even extend past the retreat. So
yeah,
you don't have to have all the money up front, which is amazing. And the geodomes that are really cool, imported from Poland, full AC. We have it
which
set
is
up
where we stayed when we
visited. Yeah.
Loa and Loa.
Yeah. That's right. So there's either two king beds for the double, but those can also be turned into four twins. And that is our new low price option for $2,800 a person. And actually, if you sign up before the 24th of this month, you get a $500 off when you use the code, which is all on the website at souljourneys.com.
And you also get a bonus of one of my masterclasses, Finding the Greatest Loves in Your Lifetimes. And you also get a message channeled from me, from Spirit, for that person that signs up. Yes, there's, and you get a massage at Emma Loa.
That's right. So the first 10 people.
Huge bonus for the first 10 people. So we've had some, you know, our first people that have signed up and they're so excited, you know, for all the opportunities. But that's the cool part because we reduced it on some levels, but yet those that still want that 5-star VIP, then that's available for them if they want.
I know they booked the house, the standalone Patu house all alone. That's great. And there's still one of those Balinese houses available as well. Yeah. But the new accommodation we opened up is called Sky Forest, and it is a 3,500 square foot home, 2-story home with 3 bedrooms in it. And each room can either be a standalone or shared. Has AC, you have your own kitchen, and you have your own pool that overlooks the mountains. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. Oh my God, so gorgeous. And so they're single and double occupancy there. Yeah.
Yeah. So fun. And it's so really beautiful. Close to everything. So some of the other properties are a little further away. This one happens to be close to everything. And it is, oh my gosh, it is gorgeous. It is the view from there to die for. It's that $1 million view we talk about. Yeah.
It's really like, it's cool because there's so many different accommodations that will fit everybody, you know? So I think that's what's really great is there a wide variety and there's more affordable prices for it.
So check it out, souljourneysretreats.com. Oh my gosh, it's a work of art, isn't it, Sarah?
Oh, I know. Shout out to our web designer, Amiga Design, Christy. Yes. She has been a blessing to us about handling all this. So
yes, she has.
I'm excited. Yeah, the retreat's in May. If you heard us before, it was May 13th to the 18th, but actually you arrived the day before on May 12th, which is a Sunday, because we all stay locally in San Jose. We have a hotel booked for all of us where you can start your retreat that way. And the next morning we all go to the airport together for our private charter plane down to the Dominical. It's a beautiful, like 25-minute flight, which even mom wasn't scared, which is the testimony for everybody. If you're ever nervous about a small plane, mom wasn't scared. And if you know that means you can do it.
I loved it. Loved it. It was a view like none other. I mean, to see the Pacific Ocean. I mean, oh my gosh, it was a view going over the forest with the Pacific. It was
like a pendulum swing where it's like the awe and wonder and beauty over like powered any kind of like nervous feelings, right? Because you just kept being like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
Yes. It was great. Yeah. So we have a lot that's new. And let's see. Do we have a quirky insight on Zen? Well, I'll tell you my quirky insight. So I had a friend and literally she was just talking about, you know, it's just time to delve deeper into the spiritual concepts. And I said, you know what? I have the perfect book for you. So I went and got the book that I just had read for the interview a short time ago and I gave it to her. And I saw her at yoga today and she said, I read the first 3 chapters. Oh my gosh, it is so easy to read. It's, you know, some of them you have to read it and you read it again and you read it again. It's like the concepts are so difficult sometimes to understand. This is so easy to digest. It just is. And she just loved it. So there's that little insight just from
so great. I think that's what Denise is really talking to. This is a really great place to get your feet wet because there's so many tools and foundational steps that she speaks to, even about like how to meditate and taking that away and just speaking to quiet time. But also like even if you are deep into your spirituality, I always like returning back to the basics because I will read it with different eyes. I will understand it and integrate it differently. It's like going back to messages you saw before. I don't know. It's just like a different way to see it because now you're in a different place.
Well, I think it's like when clients read the past life regression transcripts, mm-hmm. they can read them 6 years later and they message me and say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it, but this mm-hmm. is exactly, you know, still what I need to work on and the soul yeah. lessons. And so with each piece of work you do, you're going to absorb.
Oh, I mean, those transcriptions are gold because when you are yeah. in a hypnotic trance, you remember the like, big moments and like the feeling inside, but the details and the get yes. kind of washed away.
Yeah.
Because you're in that hypnosis. So having the transcription is just the best.
It is. It truly is. So I think it's time to read her bio, mm-hmm. don't you? Let me read it. Denise K. Evans is you. She had all the trappings of the American dream, the education, financial success, material abundance, but remained unfulfilled. She knew there had to be more to life. Denise went from longing for inner peace to finding it, and has a passion to share how she finally got the barrage of spiritual and personal growth information to make sense and stick in her own life. Through her energy life consulting, Evans has helped clients resolve deep recurring emotional and relationship issues, reminding us always to come back to ourselves for the answers we seek. Her book, Zen in High Heels, serves as a practical guide no matter where you are on your spiritual journey to keep seeking and finding growth and inner peace. In addition to her MBA, Denise is a mom, writer, and speaker who has a great love for travel and fitness. Interesting person, right?
And it's great, easy to find her. She is zeninhighheels.com or on Instagram, zeninhighheels.
Yeah.
Before we roll into the interview, we'll take a pause from our advertiser, Dr. Bethany Padgett of Wholehearted Holistic Solutions. And be sure, we had her on last time and she has a new package that is the Mind, Body, and Spirit package. So when you mentioned Therapy Unfiltered, you get a 25% discount on that. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to last episode and she will share all about what she does. So we'll be right back.
Spring into health and wellness. It's that time of the year where we begin to enjoy longer days. Exposure to this additional sunlight is an integral component of good health. Did you know that vitamin D is actually a hormone? Vitamin D is critical not only to bone health, but it is needed to manage blood sugar levels, help fight against heart disease, support the immune system, and regulate blood pressure. Contact Dr. Bethany at www.wholeheartedlyyours.org or at 352-449-8421 to assess your vitamin D status. It's time to spring into health and wellness.
Are you curious why you keep attracting negative people into your life?
Do you feel caught in the same toxic relationships over and over again?
Do you want to increase your vibration and manifest your deepest desires?
Have you ever felt like maybe you've had a past life?
Are you curious who your guardian angel is, or do you want to connect with a loved one who has passed?
Would you like to finally release those anxious thoughts and worries and harness the power of your intuitive self?
Have you ever felt isolated on your spiritual journey and want to connect with like-minded people?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you are one of the many seekers who's ready to join Mom and I on our retreat in Costa Rica, May 2024.
This retreat is truly where luxury meets the jungle, where the physical space and emotional container we co-create with you will allow you to feel fully held as we dive deep into past lives, soul contracts, and between lifetimes.
We'll experience somatic healing, holotropic breathwork, meditation, and yoga.
We'll go on waterfall hikes, beach excursions, and have lots of laughter alongside the deep emotional transformation.
If you're ready for a week of mind, body, and soul healing while immersed in the jungle and cozy in luxury accommodations, we would love to have you. All the details are on our website at souljourneysretreats.com and below in the show notes.
If you have any questions at all, let's book a call and take your first step towards the life that you're ready to embrace now.
All right. Welcome, Denise, to Therapy Unfiltered. We're so excited to have you on today.
Hi. Thanks. I'm thrilled to be here.
I've heard a lot about you from Mom.
Yes. It was so fun meeting you. And
thank you.
Yeah, the way we met was really pretty interesting, I thought, because you had seen me on the 90 Day Fiancé series, me do the past life regression with Ed and Liz, and something clicked and you said, I need to do that. That is exactly what I need. So you actually flew into town, which I loved, to do it in person because you were all the way across the United States. And as you flew into town, it was great, but I'd love to start, before we talk about your book, Zen in High Heels, I'd love to start and just ask you, how was the past life regression for you?
Well, it was interesting. It's one thing I hadn't tried. I've been a seeker for pretty much my whole life. I've done a lot of different modalities, different therapies, different, you know, always seeking more deeper truth. And I had sort of heard of that, but I didn't know anyone locally. And then when I saw that, I thought, let me look her up and see if she's like taking people, or if it's meant to be, it will happen, right? So
totally. It
just worked out very easily. You're readily available and found you, and you had a cancellation. And of course, I wanted
Mind
to be in
timing.
Florida, which I wish I was in Florida right now. I'm in the Midwest. I'm in a deep freeze in the Midwest.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm always open. You know, I've come a long way on my personal spiritual growth path, but I'm always open to, you know, what's next and what's more, and always ready to receive more information. And so that's what I just thought something I hadn't done, and just was not going to be closed off to what it might offer for me.
Yeah.
What did you find in the regression?
Gosh, let's see. It's been a little bit.
I know sometimes it's hard to remember it all because you're so immersed in it, but if you could pull out some of the, you know, the main highlights that you recall, we'd love to know.
Well, one of the main things, Petey, you might recall, was just realizing that maybe in the past, or even if it's in my genes hereditarily, you know, that different generation of me or my heritage didn't have the opportunities to express themselves and flourish in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so I felt this real almost sadness, which explained my enthusiasm for this lifetime, which helped explain why I'm so hungry to live to the fullest, to not just be a bystander and let things pass me by, not just accept somebody else's path for me, but to figure it out and really make my impact, really figure out why my soul's here and do that work. So it kind of validated that, I guess I would say. And then they have, when we did like the elders or the
council of elders.
Between life. Yeah.
Spiritual, it's like your spiritual guide people.
Yes.
Yeah. And that just also just was like a validation that you're not just going through this life alone, you know, and that there are, whether it's our loved ones that have passed on or whether it's our angel guides or whoever, there's people that are rooting for us spiritually and watching and hoping and just there for us. So I love that.
Denise, you just have to share that special piece. I've, in all my thousands and thousands of past life regressions, have never had a client find us between lifetimes when you say how many are cheering and rooting for you. Tell Sarah what you mean by that.
What do you mean, why they were rooting, or
no,
like
that, what they were doing when you went between lifetimes?
I mean, they were just woohooing and like
in a stadium, like kind of like cheering on a team.
Yeah, but they were only maybe 6 or 10 or something. I don't know, but
yeah.
I made a statement, which I'll keep private, but I made a statement of sort of what I want to do next, like my next step or something. Mm-hmm. And the whole section was like, woo! Yeah.
I'm so excited for her. I've never had that happen.
It made me laugh and surprised me as well, because you're in this quiet, you know, state. And I was like, woo! Yeah. Yes. All right.
Oh my gosh.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard that. The way you share it feels like this deep knowing that we are connected and that we're not alone.
Sure.
And like this whole spirit team and Earth Council and Spirit Council, like there's a lot of people around rooting for you and celebrating you.
Sometimes, especially when you're on your spiritual path, you have that feeling of isolation or loneliness you're having struggles with the people in your actual physical life connecting or getting something. Mm-hmm. And so it does feel reassuring to know that there are actually people on the other side waiting for you, cheering for you, rooting you on, watching your moves, appreciating every time you take the more true step, there's people on the other side that are like, yes, it's laid out. They can see it. And they're just hoping that you will too. And we will if we take the time and look for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you know, being able to validate a lot of, you know, what you saw between lifetimes with the Council of Elders, absolutely being able to validate the soul lesson. So getting all those answers are just, it's like gold for people. It's like you come back and it's like, huh. Yes, I'm good. This is good. You know, that validation is huge. So I'm curious, though, with the name of your book, because Zen and High Heels, I just love the name. It's like, did you find Zen between lifetimes, would you say?
Well, I mean, that's hard to say because I've done so much work for so long that I have a lot of Zen in my actual physical life now.
Right. But I'm saying between lifetimes, could you feel that same state of Zen?
Oh, yeah. The whole hypnosis was pretty Zenful.
Yeah. That's why I just think with the name of the book, it's just so interesting. Yeah. And
Denise, I know you did the regression, you know, I think it was like a couple months ago. Have you continued to have a felt sense or a connectedness to the other side sense, or any kind of messages pull through, or any kind of reconnection since the regression?
Just that sort of sense, that little like hug, that there's that little hug when I'm thinking about deep things or going through something, I feel that hug. It was just super reassuring that it's actually there, that they're actually there. So I think that has stayed with me, like just a little, it was like a little hug. Oh, if I need a hug, I'm like, oh, I know it's there.
Nurturing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump into it, because before I met you in person, I didn't even know you had just published this new book, and it was all on these spiritual topics that you and I love to talk about and Sarah loves to talk about. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to be on our podcast.
I didn't know you had a podcast, and I didn't have any anticipation of bringing the book up as part of your pre-check-in investigative series that you do, PD.
I know.
No stone unturned. So it came up, and then I found out about the podcast, and it's just a perfect mesh, and I'm just thrilled.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, let's just jump into the book, because the book is fabulous. So, who exactly is Zen in High Heels written for? Who would it benefit the most, Denise?
Well, it's universal principles. So I do want to say, even though it says high heels, that I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from men who have read it as well. It applies universally. They sort of like the audiobook, I think, the most, so they're not carrying around the feel. But like this. But, you know, ideally, the two really ideal client for it would be someone who's just starting out on their spiritual growth path, who's like, doesn't know where to begin. You know, maybe you've gone to church and you're like, okay, but I want to do something like more or practical or or you go to yoga and you're like, I feel great in yoga class, but 2 hours later I don't, you know? Yeah. So someone who's kind of starting out and doesn't really know where to begin. This is great because it lays everything out very clearly and practically. And then also I would say the person who has achieved a lot of success, who's taken the route that society says will make you interesting and worthy and happy.
Yeah.
And so you've got the car or the job, the education, maybe the marriage, maybe the house. And you're like, this just can't be it. This can't be
still
all.
Feeling unsatisfied.
You know? So it's for that person as well. Like what is missing, you know? And even, and like I say, even if you're going to church and you have a spiritual belief, that doesn't always translate practically. You know, you leave the service feeling great or the yoga class, and then you have an encounter with your mother-in-law or your teenager or your annoying neighbor, and it all goes out the window. Like, so it doesn't, it's not sustainable sometimes when we're in real life. And so this book serves to bridge that gap between sort of what you know is true and what you hope is true and what you long to have in your life and what you've maybe had glimpses of and the reality of the difficult and the complications of relationships and of your internal dialogue and of your, the way that you're experiencing stress and all these things. How do we combine those so you actually feel better? So your life feels better, not that how it looks on the outside, but how does it feel on the inside?
Yeah.
It serves to bridge that gap. So if you've got the career or you've got the thing, like I say, you've got the worldly success and you're just thinking there can't be another achievement that's going to do, like I've worked so hard for so long. I've got the things I thought I wanted. Like what is the piece? So this will help you identify that.
I love it.
Well, I especially love how in the book, you give more tools than I have ever seen in one book. And you refer to all of the different trainings and books and protocols and where it comes from, which I think is so helpful for a new seeker as well as some. Those tools are perfect for somebody seeking, and then you give the backdrop to how that can occur. So that was perfect, I thought, all of the tools and resources.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I find that even though I've been like you, a seeker on the path for a while, it's always helpful for me to go back to foundational learnings and tools because then I'm in a space to hear it and read it differently. So although it's just on the path, I think it can be really beneficial for those even already on the path. They feel like they have like transcended that because it's still so good to go back to the foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I say at the very end, I'm not sure how far you got through it, but at the very end, you know, I acknowledge someone who's just hearing some of this for the first time and the person who is very far on their path. Sometimes there's just a piece of the puzzle that because you're practicing yoga heavy or Eckhart Tolle heavy, presence heavy, or you sort of have a path that there's some spaces that you haven't quite solidified or got those pieces to work. You kind of avoid maybe even those pieces or those relationships or those. So this will, even if you're that far along, maybe it will give you the little piece of the puzzle to look at in a way that fits what you're doing and puts you even to the next level. So it's very good basic and it's very good.
Yeah.
It can go as deep as you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before we kind of launch into it, we want some of our listeners to hear a couple of your favorite tools. But before we go into that, I'd love for you to share your backstory of like how this book came to be and a little bit about you and how it got developed.
Okay. PD, I appreciate what you said about so many concepts, that it covers so much ground, because I've had several people say, I just couldn't believe in this one little book how much, and it's broken down in such a way that if you've got the one component down pretty good, you can very easily reference the chapter that's specific to what you're working on. So yes. I appreciate you saying that. Well, let's see, I've always been a seeker. I said that. And then I did the things. I got the master's degree. I got the house. I got the car. I got the husband. I did all that. And like I say, and I went to church. I was a good person. I am a good person. But I was like, I was just seeking like truth. Like, what's the truth? Like, why do I know all the love in my heart for people? And then these relationships are difficult. Or why am I so disappointed about these things in life that I can't control? Or so there were just things that still really bothered me on like a deep level. So I was always seeking that. And I'm just trying to think all the way back to where this started, because the title came to me probably 16 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And so I've always known it's in me. I wrote a book for teenage girls before this a long time ago. I was working with teenage girls and empowerment and life principles. And then it kind of got into some adult seminars and things, but I always knew there's a book for that in me. And the title Zen and High Heels came to me very long ago, and I just kept it a secret. And I just didn't tell anyone. I just kept dreaming about it, thinking about it. I would keep notes. I had a file system, you know. I knew it was going to happen someday. I just didn't know when. And then, you know, life gets in the way. And so it got put off for 4 years here. I didn't even look at it, or 4 months there. I didn't even look at my stuff. But I always came back to it. It was this nagging sense of something important that I needed to do in my lifetime. Like, it felt like a calling, and I didn't know how it was gonna, you know, structure itself. If you've written before, you know, it's very creative process of you put in this, and then you allow space and meditation and love in your heart and see where it leads you. And then you do your part of the work, and then you allow again. So it's been many years, you know. Once I sat down and really said, let's get this published and let's do it, it probably took 2 years of really intensely, what are the concepts that are laid out? Like, oh, we definitely need to cover this, this, and this. And then as I started writing, it evolved into, okay, if you don't know this, then we should add this part and explain it this way. And that's one of my biggest things that I think is different about this spiritual growth book, is that I feel like it's very, very practical. I feel like you can understand it. It's super deep concepts on a level. But when I read the Deepak Chopra and the Eckhart Tolle, I mean, you have to read one page 20 times, and it's yummy and it's delicious and it's true and it feels great. But man, is it complicated.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you finally, when I was dedicated to that work, and I would try to finally get the pieces and practice them in my life, and then I would be like, okay, that wasn't as difficult as, why did they make it feel so deep and difficult? Like, let's say it this way, and it's still the same truth, and it works, and it's something I could wrap my head around easier.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about the book too, is how easy it is to digest. So the fact that you're saying it that way, it's very digestible. And also the way that you phrase where it came from and how many years ago, right? That's actually the definition of manifesting, right? So you had the idea, you felt it, you lived it, you slept on it. And you manifested it. I mean, from the very beginning. So you are an expert manifester as well, just like what you write about in the book.
We'll see. We'll see where everything goes. But I appreciate that. I lost my thought. So that's what I think makes this book a little bit different, is it is the concepts, the Eckhart Tolle, the Deepak Chopra, just those are the two that keep coming to my mind, but in a way that is more relatable today with this person or that person, problems that we actually really have.
Yeah.
Not just be present and then go, okay, I'm going to try to be present. Like, right. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. How do I be present? I don't know.
Well, I think you allude to it. It's like, yeah, everybody goes sit on top of the mountain and goes in. But it's really, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the everyday Zen. And just mm-hmm. for our listeners, how do you define Zen? You define it in the book, which I think is beautiful. But what is it that you're saying specifically when you refer to Zen?
It's that feeling that everything's going to be okay, that everything is okay. And so no matter what's going on around, that you just have a feeling and a knowing, I have Zen because I know it's going to be okay. And also it is that connection between your mind and your heart and your soul. Your heart and your soul are kind of the same to me. So it's cleaning that wire, keeping that connection clear, so you have the Zen, because the Zen comes from your heart and your soul and being in alignment with that. So if you can do the practices that work for you, that keep that pipeline clean, keep that communication going, do a maintenance so that it doesn't get bogged down and clogged up, then you have that. I know not only is everything going to be okay, but everything really is okay, even though it doesn't look like it right now. Even though I'm having this or that stress or this job issue or this health crisis, I know it's going to be okay. It is okay that, you know, there's a bigger path and plan. And so when you can hook into that, you get the Zen.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're talking all about choice. That's what it sounds like, right?
It's choice and it's
trusting. Trusting.
Eliminating that worry or anxiety because mm-hmm. it's coming from like a pure and deep place.
Mm. Yeah, that deep knowing and deep trust within yourself. And that allows you to find that happiness that not, you know, I love how you talk about like, it's not just the things, right, that you can obtain. It's what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that yeah. clearing that channel, then you can access that, you know, true and pure happiness that I think is just what everybody is actually seeking.
It's so what everybody's actually seeking. And, you know, there's such a trend right now of with YouTube and all the information available of here's the way to make six figures, you know, here's the yeah. six steps, yes. here's the way to get yes. the six pack abs.
I have seen and that.
So people
yes.
are actually starting to like follow that and sort of get, oh, that sounds good. And they get on that train and they may even get the six pack abs or the six figure income and or have the money in the bank. And then they're like, why don't I feel satisfied and fulfilled? Because it wasn't really your plan, wasn't your life plan. That was, you can make six figures, mm-hmm, you can get mm-hmm. the six pack abs, but the intention behind it needs to involve your soul, needs to involve the reason that you came here. There's people's lives that you came to touch that you're not going to do by jumping on the bandwagon of X, Y, and Z's real estate mogul flipping houses. If that's not what you were called to do, that's not going to bring you fulfillment.
Yeah, if it's not authentic to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a matter of combining those. It's not a matter of, oh, well, I can't get the six-figure income or the six-pack abs. It's a matter of knowing, doing the deep work as well and healing the wounding and things that are going to keep you from enjoying the six-pack abs and the six-figure income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. So I love the question you posed in the book, one of them, because you posed many, many excellent questions, but it's, can you move towards enlightenment from where you are right now? Because I think the premise is that if you have flaws or you're not as evolved with others, that it's hard to find this spiritual growth. Because we know that in this lifetime, if you actually did find a perfect person, they would have ascended, right? So there's nobody that's perfect here. We're all flawed, and that's what makes us human. So when you say, can you move towards enlightenment from exactly where you are now, say more about that for people, for our listeners, because I think that's so interesting.
Well, it's one of like the main thing, one of the main takeaways, I hope, from my work. Mm. That people get is growth is available right where you are, no matter where you are. If you're the cigarette smoking, you know, in debt, three-time divorce, wherever you are, there's room, there's growth is waiting for you in the next moment. So it's not a judgment of, oh, well, I never smoked and I've never been divorced and I've never, you know, I can hold the asana for 3 hours a day. And so I'm here. It's really real life souls that have either made some mistakes or had some rough times or had bad things put upon them that feel, well, how can I get, you know, that enlightenment or that growth or that peace? You can't even really imagine the peace if you've never had a day of peace. So what I'm trying to say and get across is wherever you are, the next moment, there's a chance for that growth in the right direction. And so it doesn't have to be the big thing. We don't have to be overwhelmed with, well, I've already got, you know, the kids and the social media and the dinners and the thing in the house and this in the laundry. And it can really just bring it all back down to you, where you are, how you feel, how you got here. Take the quiet time every single day to find out what's really going on in your heart, and then start to slowly acknowledge what you need, learn how to fill those needs, and grow forward. And it's progressive and it's compounding, you know, it's compounding, pounding. When people do those pinatas at the kids' party, the 5-year-old little girl that hits it for the 30th time was not so strong that she broke the pinata. It was all the kids pounding. It's the compounded pounding. And then the prize comes. And that's how it is in our lives. And that's, I'm really passionate about this message of, it's the small things. And if you keep doing the small things, and if you keep making, if you go to bed 15 minutes earlier, if you don't hit the snooze, if you, you know, don't have the third glass of wine on the work night, if, you know, just even the smallest incremental changes are going to keep building on each other. And eventually you'll feel more the way you want to feel. You'll be able to make the choices that you want to make. You know, you do the healing work, and eventually it really does happen. It's you know, it's an amazing thing. And I don't want people to be like, well, I'm here and Deepak Chopra is here. It's so unreal. It feels so unrealistic.
Well, and you're breaking down the barrier from people thinking they need to go on this, like, you know, big spiritual experience, go to India, have this big reboot, have this big awakening, aha. And it's not in that. It's about the integration afterwards. So what you're offering is the sustainable healing for everybody in those everyday moments, which is so powerful.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. And that's where you get that inner peace. And then, you know, I talk about getting to the place where you could go to bed at night, even if you haven't quite achieved the goal or got the thing, with the peace, because you've made decisions that are in alignment with your soul, and you've tried your hardest, and then you have a sense of fulfillment and peace and calm, and everything's going to be okay, and everything is okay. So you feel amazing, even though you haven't quite reached, maybe attained the actual goal yet. It's a beautiful way to live. It's a beautiful place to be. And if you don't mind me interjecting this, as women, if we can feel this way and feel empowered and not looking outside of ourselves so much for validation, and then pass that on to our children.
Yes.
And if we could be more present with our children, because we're not so obsessed with the outside way everything looks, it's going to make the world a better place. And it starts with you.
It's perfect. Yes. Interject all day.
It just starts with you, and it starts in real life.
It's true.
It's not about, like you said, the mountain and the and the spiritual retreat.
Although I did that. I did go to the mountain. I did go to India. I did the thing. But it was everything after that made it sink in.
Yeah, that's when you integrated it all when you came back.
Denise, you were talking about how for people to start to quiet their mind in the mornings, right? To start to listen. And meditation is a big practice, and it's something that it seems to be, even the idea of that seems like a big concept for people to step into. I have a monkey mind. I can't do it. There's always thoughts. What would be some tangible tips for people to begin that process?
I have a whole chapter on this.
Yeah, I do.
But I mean, you know, it's really the word meditation that's kind of intimidating, yes, or overwhelming, mm-hmm, or makes you feel like a Zen failure because you don't like it.
Yeah.
You've tried it and it's just annoying.
I've quote unquote failed at it.
It can feel annoying if it's not like a natural, if you haven't integrated it very much. And you said specifically like, oh, you know, in the morning to meditate. But actually, if you're really, really beginning, all we're saying is find the few minutes of quiet in your day. Because if you think about it, we wake up to music and we're getting ready with the radio on, or the news is on in the background, and we have breakfast and the news is on, or the music is on, or the podcast is on in the car on the drive to work. And then, mm-hmm, you're at work all day with people talking to you and reading things and ingesting. And then you pick up the kids from school on your way home, and then they're noisy. And then it's the dinner time, and maybe you got the news on again on the TV. And then you got to watch your must-see TV, Netflix, whatever, before you go to sleep. So we can very easily go 24 hours with no quiet time.
Yeah. And inundated,
not even notice.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm suggesting is notice that. Start noticing how your day is falling together. Awareness is the first step. And then be like, what could I do that there's no noise around me, even if it's while I'm putting on my makeup? Like, I'm not going to turn on the morning news. Do I really need the morning news on? It's just a habit. But maybe I can make a choice, or maybe just half the time. Let's say I have it on for 20 minutes. Maybe for 10 minutes, yeah, I don't have it on. So we can start really anywhere. Or if you're in the car by yourself on your commute, don't turn on the TV the radio or the, mm-hmm, podcast. Don't put on the music. It's just a habit. So if we can start identifying little spaces that would be easy, that is a beginning of meditation. The principle being, you silence yourself enough to eventually figure out what's going on inside. Mm-hmm. And you cannot do that with noise around you and bombarding your senses. So I would suggest that you start there. You don't even have to think of it as meditation. You have to think of it as, I need to start with 10 minutes with no outside stimuli in my day. Where can I do that? Oh, and then perfect, you'll find, yeah, that it makes a difference, and you kind of start craving that. Mm-hmm. And then it turns, yeah, into 15 minutes, yeah, and then it turns into 30 minutes. And then you find you only watch the news once a week, you know, or just, mm-hmm, you turn off the TV and you tape record your show so that you have 30 minutes before bed that's completely quiet, or that has some soft meditation music. And you start to notice, wow, I'm less reactive with my kids when I do this. Wow, I don't have to bite my husband's head off as easily now, because I'm just allowing my nervous system to calm down every day. And then I'm thinking, as you get into it, and you start doing it regularly, then you start the deeper practice level 2, which I call meditation level 2, where now you've gotten used to the silence a little bit, and you start inquiring, how do I feel? Why did that conversation with that person bother me so much? That's still, mm-hmm, bothering me. Mm-hmm. And then you start just feeling that. What am I feeling when I think of that interaction? And so it brings attention to circumstances and people and things that might need addressing that you were just kind of going numb, blind, accepting the annoyance of. And now you're like, oh, maybe I should have the conversation. What is the conversation I want to have? How do I really feel? I know I'm annoyed, but why am I annoyed? You know, so you start to do the deeper questions. And when you start getting those answers is when your life changes.
So good. I love the chapter on meditation. There's just so much helpful information on how to start, how to maintain, and how to continue. I mean, again, you give a wealth of information. And I think one of my other favorite chapters of yours was on gratitude. So I love the gratefulness because we all know that that just brings more. But you explain gratitude as the duct tape in your personal toolbox. Tell us what you mean by that.
Okay. I want to say one little last thing on the meditation to flip over to gratitude. But when we were talking, Sarah, about sort of enlightened people and going back to the basics or whatever, mm-hmm. even if you are the yogi or the meditation person, then when you read the information and start realizing, oh, I'm just using this to like quiet myself, but I haven't been asking those deep questions.
Yeah.
So you yeah. could be a meditator someone who's meditated for years mm-hmm. and never really gone to the depth of the truth deeper inside by asking yourself the questions and that kind of awareness, as opposed to trying to just stay blank. Mm-hmm. So I was just going to add that it's for beginner, but also the advanced person can read the that and start to understand yeah. the deeper growth. Oh my gosh, the growth that occurs from that place is amazing.
And you start to have that conversation with your higher self, where those questions, you get direct answers from intuition that can lead you to that growth.
And that's one of the biggest things I would say I learned in the last 20 years is I thought I knew myself, you know, who are you? I, you know, I love to dance and I'm a daughter and, you know, I was a wife and then I became a mom and I love Mexican food, you know, or so I thought, yeah, I mean, I know who I like, who I am. I fit this mold that I think I am. And then as I've gone through all the growth, I've realized there was this whole part of me that wasn't even being expressed that I didn't even realize until I started doing that deeper level of meditation on a regular basis and really seeking those answers for myself. And then, and only then, can you truly, quote, love yourself, because there's that deeper part of you that needs you that you haven't been tending to unbeknownst to you. You know, you're just going along as we all do. So I just didn't want to miss that
no, it's perfect.
Nugget on meditation.
Yeah.
And as far as, for gratitude, now, it's kind of a buzzword. I feel like a lot mm-hmm. of people are talking about gratitude lately, but I call it the duct tape because it can really help. And I give several examples, you know, superficial, silly thing to the deepest, darkest moment of my father's passing, you know, and I give these examples how gratitude can shift any scenario. Mm-hmm. So I know that a lot of people are talking and you need to be grateful and try to think of the grateful thought or, you know, do your gratitude list. But also, as with meditation, I suggest the deeper. With gratitude, I suggest the deeper. Like, yes, think of what you want to be grateful or what you are grateful for, your dog or your health or your family or your, you know, job, and make your list of 10 things. And that's good because instead of complaining, you're doing that. But you can mm-hmm. also go deeper with your mm-hmm. gratitude. I think the example I give in the book is like, I can be grateful that my aunt made me a cake for my birthday. Oh, that I'm acknowledging, oh, I'm grateful that she made this. But then I can take a minute and think about the effort, the actually buying the ingredients or stirring the ingredients or putting it out in the pan and then pulling it out of the oven and waiting for it to cool and all the things that it takes to create what she gave me. And then I'm like, wow, not only am I thankful that I got this cake, but now I'm like really appreciating my aunt. Like, how neat is it that I have someone in my life that did all that for me rather than just being like, oh, I'm grateful I got, you know, thank you for the cake. I can go, wow. Man, my heart's like bursting with explosion of gratitude and love right now for my aunt.
Well, so much more specific and sensory.
And
yeah, way more into the full body felt sense in that.
So that's what will change your life. Gratitude's important. I love a gratitude list and all the things that are really popular right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are suggested as a way to complain less and stop focusing on the negative, because we mm-hmm. focus on the what is, and what is right now is pretty crappy. And then we get in that loop. So gratitude helps with that. But also take it even deeper. Why are you grateful for this person or this thing or this event or this?
Yeah, everything you're offering is like, it's the intro to it and then how to go deeper, right? It's a beautiful ride you can take in it. And so at each point you can enter a different, wherever you are, you're able to access the work.
Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you kind of wrap it all up, you know, with saying you encourage people to be more fluid in all areas of their life, because that is what's going to get us to our Zen. Can you say more about what you mean by that, to be more fluid in so many areas?
Well, the fluidity of that, that's a whole chapter, I believe. And yes. It's really talking about, people tend to get on a bandwagon for their personal or spiritual growth. And it could be, I'm really involved in this, I'm just going to say like a Lutheran church, or, you know, I'm involved. This is my path to my spiritual growth and my spiritual edification. And then they look to that as their source for the answers in their life. And then, or it could be the, okay, I can't keep using Eckhart and Deepak. I was trying to think of another one. I know there's
Gabor
more.
Mate, yeah. Brené
Gary
Brown.
Zukav. Okay, yeah. How about Gary Zukav? Okay, so some people are in the Gary Zukav wagon, you know, and that they follow all of his teachings and they follow on social media and they're like, here's the principle that he's teaching and I've got to figure this out and make it work and get the Zen in my life. You know what I mean? So what I'm suggesting with fluidity is, maybe what Eckhart teaches of be present is the answer. And maybe being present will give you the peace that you long for. But there might be a situation in your life where you can't find presence. You're just like with this person or with this like ongoing health thing or whatever the thing is. You feel that you're out of presence and you're like, okay, I want to be in presence. And you read more of his stuff and you're like, you know, and you just, so you struggle there. So what I'm suggesting is be willing to look at it from a different spiritual growth perspective, a different teacher, you know, look at it from the gratitude way. Okay. Instead of just trying to be present, I'm going to use this gratitude tool and I'm going to say, okay, here, how can I find gratitude in this very negative health scenario or with this negative relationship? And then you work on that and try to figure out how to apply that. And it's not giving up what you were doing. It's a tool. So then when you get that maybe figured out and feel better about it, maybe then you can get the presence and it'll build on each other like that. So fluidity to me means not attaching to one spiritual way to your ultimate truth. Not saying that they aren't true. I mean, the Lutheran church example, I don't know, just that is true. And that, but we're human and we're flawed and we're confusing and we deal with complicated people and we live in a complicated world. So sometimes those teachings, there's an area of your life that you cannot quite jam that in to fix that. So let's be willing to look at other spiritual teachers' ways and try to apply different dynamics. And then you can go back. So once you get, oh, now I'm not feeling so negative about it because I added the gratitude layer. Now I'm going to go back and apply that and try to be present. Oh, wow. Now it's working. Do you see? As opposed to keep hitting our head against a wall. Let's just be open to, there's just some basic concepts like with relationships of personal responsibility, of non-attachment. You can't just attach to one, even though this is true. It might not help you have a solution to all your woes.
Yeah. It's about everybody and everything being our teacher in some capacity. I mean, I think that's exactly, and that's what we speak to all the time.
Yes. And being open to that. We get sometimes, especially if you get a real leap of growth in a certain retreat or a certain past life regression, or, you know, especially if you experience a real leap, then you're like, oh, this is the solution. This is the answer. This changed my life. This is the thing. And what I'm trying to say is, yes, and
it's there's part
probably,
of it. It's
there's part probably of other it. Things that are going to help you as you continue to move forward in ways that
kind of like permission to use all the tools in the toolbox, depending on what is presenting for you.
And, and it doesn't discount any of them by saying, I'm going to try this other thing as well.
Yeah. So this was a perfect book for literally everyone. I mean, we all know I've been the spiritual seeker forever and teach it. I enjoyed reading it tremendously. It was like, it was like somebody, you know, cultivating and bringing all of the things together for our spiritual journey, which was lovely to read one. And for someone beginning or in the middle of the journey, equally appropriate. So I love that about your book.
Yeah. And the questions just allow you to go deeper, even if you're already on your path. It's such a, so many good tools and accessibility for people.
What's ahead for you, Denise? What's your next move here?
Well, I just want to keep right now. It's only just now 6 months out. So for the next little bit is promoting and getting it out there so that people can have it as a tool and feel like they've got the girlfriend that's on their side, that's rooting for them. And I want them to know, like, I am you, you know, I had the things and the education and the things and, but not the inner peace. And now I have the inner peace. And so I am you and I understand. And I want us to grow together and I'm still growing. We're on it together. So I'm just building a community on my social media and doing some talks and things in this podcast and just things to, you know, build a community. And I really, really think if we'll do the individual work, we're going to make the world a better place.
I love it.
Thank you
for all of your work and what you share with everybody. It's so helpful. And we will be sure to link to everything in the show notes so people can find you and join your community for sure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, because you're also offering our listeners a nice little treat because you do have a very active website. So we'll list that in the show notes and what treats that you're giving to our listeners. So we appreciate you for that as well. And keep us, you know, in the know about, like, if you're doing talks somewhere, because we would love to promote you on our social media as well, because all of this is just so good for everybody.
I appreciate it. And I have a feeling maybe our paths will cross again.
Yeah.
I think so. I think there's even more of this book we could dive into.
Oh, I know for sure. A lot more chapters. And I'd love to get a picture of you reading the book, Petey.
Oh, you got it.
It's like usually when we're at the office, so one of us, I forgot mine last time because I was reading it at home. And yes,
I got it here.
And now we have it. So we will. We will get some pictures of Sarah and I for sure. But
well, I appreciate you. I appreciate your work of the therapy unfiltered in terms of let's just make growth available to everybody and let's explore different avenues. I love that. We're on the same trajectory.
Yes.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Denise.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk soon. Oh my gosh, I love her. She has a way with speaking and phrasing things that it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And I can see why her book is written as beautifully as it is. Because, you know, sometimes people speaking in person, it sounds different when, you know, they have more of a writing style or a speaking style. But she has both. She actually has both, don't you think?
Yeah, it was really captivating. And I think one aspect I love is that she is very foundational in her teachings while also being really spiritual, which is our jam, you know? So I think it's so great.
Yes, I know. She really is. Enjoyed that immensely. Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to find a good affirmation for our topic this week. I think you and I kind of came up with it together this week.
Yeah, we collaborate.
Yes.
Here is the affirmation. I am a seeker of peace and truth. I find my Zen and trust in the outcome.
I love it.
When you have Zen, you have trust, don't you? They go together hand in hand. Yeah, very much so.
Well, for our Zen in high heels, I have our goddess cards.
Perfect.
My first deck ever. I feel them and they are just very well loved. So, I mean, you were there with me. You
totally I know. Remember.
The original owner.
How long ago was that?
It was the original owner of Spiral Circle here in Orlando. That was a while. I mean, that was like a
I think decade. It was when you were still living in Atlanta and you came home visiting. I mean, this is a long time ago, Sarah.
2 decades ago, yeah. So these are well loved. Oh, what just popped out? Sacred Space just popped out.
Oh, we know the ones that popped out. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, everybody, create some sacred space. We're all collected here together. Okay, so let's all get grounded for a moment. Take a nice big inhale wherever you are. And as you exhale, just let your body settle. And if it's okay for you, let the eyes close and just start to turn within. Just notice the conscious mind moving to the back and your subconscious mind moving forward as you tune into your inner guide and wisdom. And as you're there, I invite you to ask your unconscious mind, what number card is yours today? Number 1, 2, or 3? And the first number you see here or just know is the card for you. Okay, card number 1. Undying love. The love you have shared is eternal, regardless of the situation. Mm-hmm. Card number 2, cycles and rhythms. Honor the cycles of your body, energy levels, and emotions. And card number 3, receptivity. Allow yourself to receive. This will increase your intuition, energy, and ability to give to others.
Mm. All good.
Makes sense. Can't pour from an empty cup, right?
They're all good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We so appreciate it. And don't forget, we still love those 5-star reviews. We've forgotten to mention that, I think. You know, we got so many the first couple years, and we've kind of forgotten to mention it. So if you would like to go on one of the platforms you listen to us, you know, whether it's Spotify or Apple, whatever, and leave us a 5-star review and why, we would so appreciate it, really.
Yeah, it helps people find us. And when you save it, it just helps the platform grow. And next time in 2 weeks, we have a new friend of ours we met down at the retreat center. Her name is Heidi, and she is a psychic medium. And my gosh, her stories are phenomenal. I can't wait to talk with her because we already have befriended her and had some fun conversations. So we know what's in store.
Yes. Yes, it will be a great conversation.
Everybody have a beautiful Monday. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Are you curious why you keep attracting negative people into your life?
Do you feel caught in the same toxic relationships over and over again?
Do you want to increase your vibration and manifest your deepest desires?
Have you ever felt like maybe you've had a past life?
Are you curious who your guardian angel is, or do you want to connect with a loved one who has passed?
Would you like to finally release those anxious thoughts and worries and harness the power of your intuitive self?
Have you ever felt isolated on your spiritual journey and want to connect with like-minded people?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you are one of the many seekers who's ready to join Mom and I on our retreat in Costa Rica, May 2024.
This retreat is truly where luxury meets the jungle, where the physical space and emotional container we co-create with you will allow you to feel fully held as we dive deep into past lives, soul contracts, and between lifetimes.
We'll experience somatic healing, holotropic breathwork, meditation, and yoga.
We'll go on waterfall hikes, beach excursions, and have lots of laughter alongside the deep emotional transformation.
If you're ready for a week of mind, body, and soul healing while immersed in the jungle and cozy in luxury accommodations, we would love to have you. All the details are on our website at souljourneysretreats.com and below in the show notes.
If you have any questions at all, let's book a call and take your first step towards the life that you're ready to embrace now.